while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
We're talking about fasting this morning. We read the scripture earlier in Isaiah, in Daniel chapter 1. Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. I don't know if you can get this. Fasting. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 58, though. And I want to just say this morning that fasting for the body in the natural, we're just going to cover one thing, helps reduce liver fat and promotes a healthy liver. And the reason why I chose that, because I have issues with fatty liver myself. So there's some changes that I had to make, dietary changes I had to make to my life. I had to change the way I ate. I had to change my perception of the way I ate. And I started eating certain foods that were good for me, not necessarily the foods that I liked. But after a time, I began to discipline my body, that my body was no longer resisting those things that were good for it, and wanting me to eat that greasy, lovely cheeseburger, and wanting me to eat those fries dipped in my own sauce that I created. Because, you know, if we love food, we can become very creative with it. And, you know, if you love the Word of God, you can become creative in your obedience. Whatever you begin to put your energy into, that thing will eventually speak through you and testify through you exactly what you are. And my body began to dictate, because in America, your food is different here in London, in England. It's different. You don't have all the additives and the preservatives that we have, and we've been talking about that, those things that are in our diet that seem to work against us. And I found that in the 1990s, they began to put nanobites in the foods in America, and you're wondering what purpose was that? Well, experimentation. A lot of things are done without your knowledge, because we sometimes choose to be ignorant. But fasting is a discipline of a Christian life. There are other cultures that fast, and they fast for their body, they fast for their obedience, they fast for subjection, they fast for submitting themselves to the authority that's over them. They will call a fast for the entire nation. We look through the history of the scriptures, and we find that there were times that Israel called a fast because they needed to invoke the presence of God. They needed God to move on their behalf, especially when they found themselves in dire straits and nations were coming against them and rising against them. And so God gave them prophets in the land. And when God gave them prophets in the land, it was just like them being those people that had a fatty liver. Because fatty liver, your liver detoxifies everything that comes to your body. Your liver is almost like that other garbage can in your body. Everything that you intake in your mouth, that liver filters it out. So sometimes we overtax our liver. Sometimes we overtax things in the spirit by not listening to God and being obedient. There are things that we need to subject ourselves to in the spirit, submit ourselves to in the spirit. And because we're not listening, there are those things that come to attack us, just like in our bodies. When we don't treat our liver with the respect that it deserves as God created it, because the Word says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. When you don't take care of your body, then what you're doing is you're not taking care of your spiritual body either. And oftentimes we neglect those areas of our lives, even in fasting and prayer. Because when we fast, you have to couple it with prayer. It works together. It's synonymous together. The Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, that Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness, having fasted, what, for 40 days and 40 nights. That was very taxing and strenuous on his body. Though he was God the Father, God the Son, he was still God-man. He was in the flesh. He submitted himself, subjected himself to the same things that we are subject to. The Word of God says that in like manner, he was what? He was enticed as we were. He was tempted as you and I were. But the Word of God says without sin. Now consider that for one moment. That if he was tempted in like manner as we were without sin, who dwells on the inside of you? Christ does. So that means what? It is not impossible for us to live a life if we give ourselves over to the tools that God has given us. It doesn't mean temptation won't come, but it does mean that temptation won't swallow you up and it won't destroy you.
There are things just like in the natural, we feed into our bodies and cause our bodies to break down in certain areas. The same thing we do in the spirit. There's certain things that we watch, there's certain things we put our hands to, certain conversations we entice in and we envelop in, and what we're doing is we are taxing the spirit man. We are cutting ourselves off for that main source of life. And the Lord said, behold, I want to do a new thing. Remember I said that in the beginnings, Isaiah 43, behold, I want to do new thing. I want to do something for you. Thank you. That's why I need a hallelujah. Because God wants you to know that this season is not over for you. I don't care what age you are. I'm starting my new beginning now. This is my new beginning. Me coming here is my new start. So many of us can have many new starts. God said, I want to do a new thing. I'm going to make rivers in your desert. I'm going to make streams in the places that have been dry for you and have been barren so long. But I want you to know that when you come to my presence, you can't handle these battles on your own. I want you to fast. I want you to discipline your body and bring your body under subjection. I want you to pray to me, because when you come aside and fast, what you're saying is I'm denying myself and I'm taking on the purposes of Christ in my life. Because God, right now I'm wrestling. I don't care if it's pornography. I don't care if it's profanity. I don't care if you're having vulgar thoughts. God said, I want to begin to remove those things out of your life. And fasting is going to act as that tool of circumcision in your life. And it's going to begin to cut away those things, those struggles you've been having with. Sometimes you get thoughts in your mind and you wonder where those thoughts come from, don't you? I'm talking to the lady with the black and white. Sometimes those things, you see me, you're nodding your head. Sometimes thoughts come to you and you say, Lord, I don't know where these thoughts are coming from. This isn't the way I think. But sometimes you associate with certain people that speak certain things, and before you know it, you have engulfed and you have taken in those things, those attitudes, whether you're trying to help them or what. And sometimes you need to come aside and say, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore. I need silence in my head. And sometimes those thoughts come to disturb your moments, to disturb those times that you need to be dealing with certain things, family projects, certain things that you need to deal with, even in business. But those thoughts come, and they come as a bombardment against your mind. God said, right now, I'm breaking the power of those thoughts over your mind. And I'm going to bring you into a place of liberty that he wants you to come into. There's someone else you've been having problems. I was sitting over here and you've been having problems with your toes. And it seemed like sometimes you just have difficulty with your toes and your shoes. Is there someone here? You've been having difficulty in your feet. Raise your hand. Yeah, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak that pain, that difficulty sometimes and disturbs even when you walk is broken, and that you have peace. And not only that, that stress that comes on your heart sometimes when you're praying and when you're trying to meditate on things, I speak all of that broken, that lifted. He said to lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen you the feeble knees. There's weights that come because the enemy's trying to stop you and bring distress so you won't move forward in the plans and purpose of God. And God said, I give my beloved rest and I give you rest. He said, I give you peace today, a peace beyond your own understanding, that when you leave here today, I see a new joy coming to you, a new rest coming to your mind and your spirit. There is nothing impossible with God. Luke 1:37 says, with God what? Some things are. When you fast, that becomes a reality to you. When you pray, it becomes a reality. Because when you don't fast, Jesus himself went up in the wilderness and was tempted of the enemy 40 days and 40 nights. I love you, son. 40 days and 40 nights of the enemy. And when he was tempted of him, every time the enemy came against him, he said, what? It is. You know what he was saying? Literally, he said, I am the written word. And you're confronting the word that was written and was made flesh among you. And behold, I was with God in the beginning, because I saw you, Satan, as lightning fall to the earth. So you know who I am. I love it when you read scripture and you read about that encounter that Jesus had with the enemy. And the encounter that he had with the enemy, did you notice how Satan tried to act ignorant of who Jesus was? If thou be the Son of God. He already knew who he was. He was thinking that Jesus in his fasting state was more vulnerable than what he was. He's hoping that you won't come into the reality of the tool of fasting and prayer coupled together, that you won't walk in the authority and power that God has given you. Jesus Christ, the wisdom and the power of God, dwells on the inside of you. that life, that eternal life, that power, that authority to help you overcome those obstacles, that you may run through a troop, the adversary that keeps bombarding your life, keeps coming to the lives of your children to swallow up. The Lord said, I want you to know that I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I begin to put you in those places of victory and authority that I called you. Why? Because I called you even from your mother's womb. Can you imagine? I fearfully and wonderfully made you. I created you. You are unique in yourself. There's nobody else in the earth like you. You might resemble your mother. You might resemble your father. You might not even know who they were. You might have been adopted. But the thing is, you might resemble them. But when you get down to the minutest detail, you are uniquely you. God wants us to know in this season that he has purposed us for more things than we've given ourselves credit for. One of the things God spoke to me a few years ago, he said this. He began to tell me in this season of new beginnings that there was yet things to be revealed in my life. Some of you have come to the end of certain things and think that there's no more than this. This is it. There's nothing else that I can achieve. There's nothing else that I can accomplish. God, this is it. I'm stuck in this job. There's nothing else. I don't have the credentials. There's nothing else that I can do. Fast and pray and wait on the Lord. I don't care if it's a half a day. I don't care if it's a whole day. Begin somewhere. The Word of God tells us that Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 1, that he purposed in his heart. He determined in his heart, when you do anything for God, determine first that you're going to do it. Make up in your mind you're going to do it. We're not going to return to the beggarly elements. We're not going to return to the old way of doing things. We're not going to return to the old conversations. We're not going to return to the old place, because what comfort did we have in it, the reason why we left it? What was it there that gave us life? What was it there that caused us to benefit and to grow? Nothing. So why return? The Lord Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, the manifestation of the Son of God in your life, to bring you out of the place of darkness into the marvelous light, that he might shine on you and breathe you understanding in this new season. The Lord had me begin to meditate on Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of revelation and knowledge and revelation, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of who? His Son, Jesus Christ. Why? So that I won't make the same mistakes, but I can live this life now in the fullness and the godliness of the kingdom of God without fear, knowing that regardless of my size, regardless of my color, not blaming someone else for the reasons why I'm not able to rise up and conquer and walk in the things that God has purposed to me, but I may know myself with my relationship that God has called me to the kingdom at such a time as this, and I will live it out to the glory of God regardless if I'm 15 or 59. I will live it out to the glory of God. Why? Because today is my day of new beginnings. It is what you believe and contend for. If you contend for it, say, if I contend for it, think about that for 1 minute. Sometimes contending means involving yourself with arm-to-arm combat. Sometimes contending means stepping away from those same people that you know or haven't been beneficial in your life. Sometimes it means transformation. Do you know that the whole time I've been here, my son and my daughter have been speaking into my life, because it's a season of transformation. It's a season of God moving you out of the old, as if you're shedding that old sin, filth, that old type of skin, that old lifestyle, and bringing you into something new. That is what the liver does. The liver filters out the old junk that's going to create nothing but disease and havoc in your body and bring death. But when you begin to fast, even in the natural, people fast because they know it has health benefits and health properties. So what do they do? Cabbage is wonderful for the liver. Greens are wonderful for the liver. There are different things that are good for your liver. The word of God is good for your spiritual liver. The word of God is good for your mind. When you fast, they tell you that even the cells in your brains are renewed. When you begin to fast, cells in your body are renewed. They come alive again. There's someone that even wrote an article saying that within 7 days, your body just naturally begins to rejuvenate itself. Because why? It understands the time clock of God. God has designated you on a time clock. And the enemy has blinded us to it because there's so much revelation that comes when you separate yourself into God. And don't just fast and tell somebody I fasted today. When you fast, spend time in prayer. You know, we want to be known as fasters. You know, I go places and people say, you know, would you like, no, I'm not eating. Why? I'm just not eating today. I might tell another believer that understands, well, you know, because we recognize one another. There is a glow that comes. There's a transformation of purification that happens when you fast in your body. Your body recognizes that you are starving it, and it will resist you. It will fight you on all counts. Give it water and tell it to be quiet. I do it all the time. I have to speak to my own body. And I say, this is for your good. You will not die, according to Psalms 118, but you will live and you will declare the works of the Lord. And then I speak to my organs that are giving me trouble and persisting to have their own way. And I tell it, you will not die, but you will live. There are things that God has ordained for Phyllis Luella Ellis, and I haven't done it yet. And I refuse to let God raise up somebody else to walk in my purpose, to walk in my destiny, and to speak the word that God has designed for me to speak. It is my right as a son of God to live this life in righteousness and in truth and in the fear of God. Be determined. Be determined. There are places that God wants you to go, even in your community. There are people in your community that you have ignored because you just don't like the way they look. You know, they just have this certain way. They just dress a certain way. I know. God, I can't. Don't ask me to talk to them. And you might have been born just to speak to that one person. And that one person born to change a nation. I used to go to the grocery store. I'm going to deviate just for a moment. I used to go to the grocery store and get offended because people would look at me. Just looking at me at the grocery store. And I said, I am tired. This happened repeatedly, maybe 5 or 6 times. And I'd get offended. And I look and I said, what are they looking at? What are they looking at? I said, Lord, what is the problem? He said, they're not looking at you, they're looking at me. That changed my, it wasn't about me. See, we take offense at everything. Some people are watching you because they see something in you. At that moment, say, God, what is it? God, what am I supposed to be doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? God, what should I be putting my hands to that I'm not putting my hands to? Because, you know, there was a time that I used to, you know, I would pray and fast, and sometimes I would do all my fasts on nothing but water, and trust me, I was dying and I was screaming out because I felt like I was dying. And the Lord let me know, you're not dying yet. That area that I want to die, you need to do a few more days because it's still alive and kicking. And that's how we are. You know, we think we did one day and we want everybody to know, Pastor, I fasted one whole day, Pastor. And the pastor says, well, glory to God, praise God. And I'm sure sometimes, I'm not talking about this pastor, I'm talking about other pastors say, God, I thought you told me they were supposed to do 10 days and they're glorying over one day. Do the one day. Cut out television. Cut out that phone time. And spend it in prayer and reading the word. And then after you've done that one day, pray again and watch to see how light the weight is lifted off of your body. Look at how the fogginess of your brain is gone. The confusion in your home is lifted. See, God has given us all the assistance we need. We don't always need someone to keep laying hands on us and casting out a devil. Sometimes we do. But there are times that God said, I have given you what you need. It is more than enough for you to overcome in this battle. Why? Because the weapons of your warfare are not like those that dwell among you who are not of the household of faith. You have the advantage. Say, I have the advantage. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 8. And the Lord is telling Isaiah to make a scroll, to make a roll, and begin to prophesy on that roll and to prophesy what he's about to do to the house of Israel. And the most interesting thing about that roll, can I turn to it right quick? And I think I might stop here. Isaiah chapter 8. And beginning at verse 1. Now, I want you to understand one thing. The Bible does say, to whom much is given, much is required. But if you don't utilize the much that God has given you, you won't never know the enlargement that God has purposed for you. We're always looking at someone else and comparing ourselves with somebody else and wondering why they're able to go and do things that we haven't been able to do. It's because God is saying, I want to mortify the deeds of your flesh. Your flesh is speaking more to you than you're hearing me. And I want to bring you out of that place, and I want you to walk in the light of the glory of my presence, so that wherever you go, you will know victory, that wherever you put your feet, you will trample on the head of the enemy, and you will find victory, not just for yourself, but those that I've assigned you to. Say, Lord, show me who I'm assigned to. It says, moreover, the Lord said unto me, take a roll, great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mehar Shalal Hashbaz. And I took with me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah, excuse me. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son, and said the Lord to me, then said the Lord to me, call his name Mehar Shalal Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. God had already pronounced judgment. God had already declared something. God has given you a word in your mouth. Sometimes God just wants you to tell somebody, you know, I love you. That's what they need at that moment. It is never a small word. The first time I began to speak prophetically years ago, I was in my early 20s. I had left pre-law school because God told me I didn't call you to be a lawyer. I've called you to be a missionary. I've called you to preach the gospel. That was my rule of law. I could have said no and had a most miserable life. It doesn't mean that you don't go through trials. It doesn't mean you don't go through stretching. But the Lord wants to enlarge your territory. He wants to bring you forth in areas of joy and of peace. Whatever God calls you to do is not grievous. The enemy makes it grievous. But when you fast and pray, those weights are no longer speaking into your life and causing you to walk in despondency and depression. That's lifted now. What the word of the Lord here is saying, that I want you to take a roll. That roll that he took was not parchment paper. It was a laborious act on the act of the prophet. What he had to literally do was take a metal sheet and pound it. He had to pound it into shape before he could even inscribe on it the words of the Lord. Because when you begin to study this, you will find that when he pounded it and beat it out, then he had to polish it. And when he wrote on it, the Lord was saying to him, when you write on it, I want everyone that passed by to see it. It was seeing their own reflection in the prophetic word that was spoken. This is how the word of God is to you. Every day that you come to this church or wherever you listen to the word of God, every time that word has been pounded out, has been labored over in prayer and in fasting, that you might hear the truth of the gospel and your life might be changed. That when you listen to the word of God, you are looking at your own reflection and not excusing yourself from the task at hand. This is what this word means. I want you to labor over that word. People come before you laboring over that word. Many of you have labored over things in your life and not seen fruitfulness. God said, if you do it my way, I promised you fruit. If you come before me with a humble heart, I will release you into my plan and my purpose. But we must purpose in our hearts, God, I have to do it your way. I want to do it your way. I resolve myself to do it your way. Those weights are lifting. Those fears right now are breaking. But it requires obedience. Say obedience. That means submitting yourself to someone that is higher than you. Because one of the things I found that fasting has done to me, it will definitely humble you. It will definitely keep you in a place of humility. When you think you got it all, you find out you don't have what you think you got. Because you will definitely be proven like Daniel was proven. But when Daniel was proven, because he had an upright heart and an upright spirit and wanted to honor God, God honored him. When we do it God's way, God will honor you.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.